the center, and all of those of you that are connected through live through Ustream. I mean, let's just say hello to everyone online. This is for you, my beloved. We're doing it for you. We are saying hello to everyone who listens to us and who watches us, and of course, everyone who is here, and also those that are lazy to come to the center and they're on their couches at home. And hello to you as well. You know, there are those, oh, why should I go to church now? Everything is live on the web. I could just sit on the couch. No, you can't. If you can be locally, you have to be here. Amen, church? So, beloved, we will go right now into one of the hottest messages that the Lord gave me. I will continue saying it. It will be a third message from the series of being disconnected from the demonic world. I'll say this: God really clearly changes lots of destinies. When I asked the Lord, is it the time to release this message? And the Lord says, yes, it is. But when I came out up front and look at some of the faces, I think that, oh, Lord, are you sure this is what we have to do? You know, I have a lot of things that I want to say, and it's not the time. And I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and I know that every jam has to be released within its time. Otherwise, as it will be thrown to the pigs. So, beloved, I know maybe for some this message might not be in time, but I'll say this. Sometimes you need, you know what I like? Some of you drives the newest car, for instance, a Mercedes. You know that the designer of the Mercedes, it's not his last model. Before you even bought this last model from the Mercedes dealership, it says that they have three more, you know, put together. They're working on them. So I like sometimes to present new models. Amen. So today, beloved, again, I tell you, this message is so simple that the life of a Christian should start with it. Some people say, why aren't you saying it right away? You wouldn't have understood anything. Right now, you're barely getting it. Amen. What is that? Where? How? So, beloved, the message is called, very simply, New Creation. Say, I am a new creation. We sing, we say, we read the scriptures. Do you even understand what it means to be a new creation? Some people, the devil has hidden this truth. We live in a lie. That we're not a new creation. We confess that we're new creation, but we don't understand. As soon as you will understand that you're new creation, it says through all of your actions, through your life, and everything in your life will change. You will act as a new creation, and not just say that I'm a new creation. Amen? So, beloved, we will go into the message. I am sure that you will receive something today because I've received it. This download from Daddy. So, church to this day cannot understand or receive one of the biggest revelations, that who you are. We don't know who we are. The biggest mistake of our church of our days is not that they don't know things, or they have no theological knowledge, know these depths and the Word of God. With your pack of knowledge, to this day, you're an old creation. Till this day, you don't understand anything. And when I say that those that believe shall be accompanied by signs and wonders, and we are accompanied by that. Some people don't like these wonders, amen? But I like them. No matter what follows me, I'm going. Let them follow me. If it's wonders and signs, healings, and let it be healings. And all of that, we have it. And say, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord to our Jesus. You know what? Everything starts like this. You have to just truthfully tell yourself. If by listening to this message, you will get confused and you say, I'm not understanding everything. You know what? You have to understand. Otherwise, for 15 years, you're staying on the same level in church. Until this day, you cannot understand who you are. You are not moving in the signs and in the glory and the wonders of God, and you don't understand the authority that God has entrusted you with. Hello. You are my warrior. warrior of Christ. But we're not here to upset anyone. We're here to let you understand who you are, to raise you up, to bring you up. And when you will leave this place or the internet or you turn off this stream, you'll understand that right now something happened to my life. So, beloved, we want to understand who we are. Everything that the devil does, he didn't take away the Bible or theologies or denominations. You know what? We can multiply, be fruitful with these denominations, but what he took away is the understanding of where the church is supposed to be and what it's supposed to move. And we look no different than the world. This is just a Christian program and you're not swearing. And that's it. And the other one, you know, the ratings are quite higher for the other secular award programs because you don't swear. All the truths and promises of God have nothing in common with you until you understand who you are in God. Proclaim. Just keep on just proclaiming it. Your breakthrough and, you know what? You still will be dry. You will not have this breakthrough because you are proclaiming the truths of the new creation by still being an old creation. You are prophesying something that has nothing in common with you. And in this position, Nicodemus was in that position. He came to Christ and said, "We know who you are." Yes, you can know. He says, "You need to be reborn." What, should I go into my mother's womb? No, you're not getting Nicodemus. Again, this is proving again that you need to be born from, again, from above. So, we all people have feelings. This is one of the elements, and I'm going to the word right now. Isn't it so? Feelings. Feelings surround us everywhere. Even right now, you're sitting and you're feeling everything. You're feeling the warmth or coldness in this building. You feel the vibration of my voice. You hear, you feel. We are born to go by our feelings. And we have no other choice. All of us. And in this world where we operate and work, this is normal. This is how it's supposed to be. Listen. In this earth, everything is moved by feelings and expressions. And if we didn't feel something through, that means it didn't happen. Amen? If someone told you, why don't you take a chocolate, and you say, where is it? And they tell you, just believe you took a piece of chocolate. Just swallow that chocolate. Yeah. How does it feel? How does it taste? Nothing. Because there was no chocolate. And all of this is nonsense. You know why? Because if you give me chocolate, I'll eat it. Because our touch with food has to do with feelings, with taste. Everything in this world. That's why I want to nail this nail on the head. And this is where you're hanging all of your life. From this nail, everything starts in your life. Why can't we understand much? Because we are hung on feelings, we're stuck on feelings, and we worried, oh, I couldn't experience, I didn't feel God. What, God went on vacation? God moved in my life, and what, was he ever sitting? Terminology. God came. Where did he go? It is written that all of the universe is his, and even in the depths of the earth, he is there. Can you run away from the Lord? So where did he go? You know, we need to rephrase everything, all our terminology. We clearly don't understand anything. Lord came. From where? Just laugh, laugh. You're laughing at yourself. Let's listen. If we didn't feel something, then it did not happen. That is subconsciously. We're not even thinking about it. It's subconscious feelings. You want to drink? You don't say, one, two, three, and there, I drank. No. You have to say, give me water, and then you drink. You need to take money into your hands for you to feel that you have money. I'm not saying just imagine you have all this money. And I'll just say, imagine. Why should I just imagine that I have money? Open my eyes and they're not there. Any of you ever fell asleep and in your dream you felt so good and then you wake up and you see your surroundings and you realize it's nothing like your dream. And you see that you're still on your old bed. Let's listen. You need to eat to understand that you're full. You need to see, to feel a person who loves you, to know that he loves you or she loves you. And words simply have no meanings if they're not attached to feelings. If your husband tells you, I love you, and you don't see him ever, is that love? No. Love is next to you. Love is shown. Love hugs, kisses. Love is experienced, and that is normal in this world, church. But I am telling you about disconnection from this world. I tell you, we do not understand. We were born from above. Continue living as if we are upon this earth, as if we're here, and we're searching for the Lord in the same feelings, and if something did not happen, if we didn't feel it, then it did not happen. Hello. If today I've experienced, Lord, how I am sick and tired of hearing that phrase. Oh, for about a week, the Lord has not been speaking to me. Pray for me. I don't know what to do. It has left me. How many times have we seen this? And you're praying for him. And he's feeling, experiencing, oh, I feel it, I feel it. God has touched me. And then he's running and happy. You're an idiot. Oh, I've been called an idiot. Now pray for me again. Your life is in God, has nothing in common with your feelings. Life in God is faith like a rock, and there is no other. God said who I am. Oh, we'll go somewhere. New creation. Absolutely new creation. Listen. So, we agree that before something can change, any status will change. It has to be affirmed with feelings. And we understand that God is not moved by feelings. You'll say, how is it that God is not moved by feelings? God is not moved by feelings. He shows feelings, yes, but he's not moved by those feelings. You know why he's not moved by feelings? How many rape, just look at all the things, perversion, death, suicide, you know, children that are hungry, millions and millions are dying in certain countries, and God does not do anything about it. Explain to me, is God moved by feelings? No. He is moved by individuals of faith. This is why they have it and the other ones don't have it. This is why he needs people that are disconnected from this world, that will not look with the eyes of this world at this world, but with the eyes of God at this world. And Jesus took a woman, you know that she should have had mercy, but he called her a dog. Hello. A woman was like a woman who was from another place. She had a possessed daughter. Who remembers that story? They couldn't control her. She was possessed. Jesus moved by feelings? No. She said, please help me, please help me. Disciples said, come on, just send her away. That's it. I don't want to rephrase, you all know the story from the childhood. He called her a dog. What's going to happen? She didn't say, that's it. I was called a bad name. I've been called a dog. She said, okay. Dog, dog. Yes, I'm a dog. Okay, I'm a dog. I have 2 ears. I have a tail. What do dogs do? Listen, you don't understand how faith works, church. She was not moved by that. Everyone dropped her and just left her always, and nothing happened to her daughter. Feelings that she told Jesus, help me, she was sent away by that, and then she was been called a dog. She says, feelings don't work, so it does work. She says, okay, so I'm imagining this. I'm a dog. What do dogs do? Dogs sometimes get under the table of the owners. If some of you had dogs, you know. They eat everything that falls off your table. Something delicious fell off. You didn't even get enough time to catch it. The dog has taken it. And she said, if I'm a dog, okay, so the dog is not fed off the table, so what does the dog do? She says, okay, I am speaking to you not from a position of a woman. I'm speaking to you from a position of a dog. Does anybody understand what I'm saying, or you're so afraid? And she says, from a position of a dog, she says, I take it by faith. Even the dogs are fed by the crumbs that fall off the table. And Jesus says, okay. Remember, Jesus was shocked from her faith, and he said, wow, go, your daughter is free. He was so shocked. He said, your daughter is free. And in that hour, she was delivered. Tell me, does God move by faith or feelings? Every time in the Bible, tell me, Bethesda, it was full of sick people. How come only one was healed? Why? Jesus, you could have just blown upon everyone. Just touch everyone. Just smack everyone with your suit. What not? With your jacket, you could have looked at one side and everybody would have been healed. You're God. He's not moved by feelings and emotions. He's moved by faith. Do you have faith? Are you full of feelings? I don't feel God. When everything will die in you, and your feelings, and you'll stop complaining, and you'll start talking with God from a position where He's at. He's not planning on coming down to you and work with you upon this field of feelings. No, He's working with you as a new creation, Jesus. So, no matter what happens with you in the spirit realm, for your status to change, you need hard faith. So, we are getting into acceptance of Christ. Okay, let's rewind, and let's pretend we started our Christian life right now. Let's rewind. Here is an altar call. You receive Christ. We come to that call. I'll say this. The first feeling, emotions, we are blown apart. We're saying, God just came into my life. Lord, and just say, how long does that last? Your status, did it change when your feelings changed? No. What, feelings are not accompanied? How come I'm no longer happy? I don't cry. I don't flip around. Why? Beloved, we have to grasp one serious key. If you will understand this real key, you will understand what is a new creation. You will be placed upon this foundation of the Word of Christ. You will not need feelings, no emotions, nothing like that. But you know what? When it does come, that's great. I even sometimes get whacked by the glory, but that's not the important thing. Yeah, it's great to lay around and roll around in the glory. And then we get up and we do what we have to do. I feel sorry for all those that just always in the spirit and always laughing and rolling around, and then years and years go by and they do not understand. They continue search for this good feelings. Lord, just pour something upon me. And then God does no longer pour. And then what happens? New movements happen. We are searching for the glory. Where's the glory? Where do they pour the glory? And they're there. We're going. We're following the glory. Where are you going? I feel pain for you, and I fear for you. Wake up, Christian. You're not understanding who you are. You are not the one that chases for wonderful feelings and adventures in God. You have a mission, and you are born as an individual. You have been placed by God. You have been made the bride of Christ. He gave you authority. And for you to achieve something upon this earth, isn't it so? Amen. So, we come to the stage where we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and this is where the devil does his biggest lie. You know that Satan, he's not an idiot, he's not stupid. We understand that he's not dull. Yes, he tries to destroy your life, but you know where the most dangerous, for a child, what is the most dangerous time? When he is small or when he's grown? When he's small, of course. And the smaller the child, the greater the danger. You understand, all of you, most of you have had children. You know how you have to feed the child, how you have to take care, or even when you're carrying a child. You have to be careful not to miscarry. We understand the devil is not an idiot. He's not dull. And he knows that it's easier to cause a miscarriage in the very beginning. So what does he do? From the very beginning, when someone's born from above, he totally reconnects you onto feelings, and emotions as you are moving God. And you have to understand, as soon as he did that, now all of your life you will be searching for books, those people that touch your emotions. Now all of your life you will be listening to things, you will be in places where your emotions will be stirred and they will be involved. And as soon as you have none of that, it's like going against your fur, and you say, I don't like it, I don't feel so good here. I've been upset. They've placed me in my spot and said, yeah. Jesus also called one of his disciples, didn't say, step away from me, angel of God. He said, get behind me. There are things that should be called by their real names, and feelings have nothing to do with that. Remember, you know what Peter did? In that moment, he showed feelings. No, what are we doing here, church? Did you drink coffee today? Yes, I drank coffee. You can see that I drink coffee. Listen. Peter showed real feelings, and that was something so not right for Jesus. You know, this was the only moment where Jesus clearly called one of his beloved disciples Satan. Not because even Thomas, he did not even believe. Yeah, Thomas, he didn't believe. You know what? He had another way of acting, dealing with him. He said, just put your fingers in my wound. But with Peter, he told him, get behind me, Satan, because you're thinking of what? Of the human things. It's of the worldly things. Everything is connected to the flesh. We are thirsty. We are searching. We're not saying that you're going to be like this doll and you're going to say hallelujah and proclaim one principles of Christ and I don't need anything. You're not a robot. I don't need feelings. I don't need warmth. I don't eat. I don't drink. I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. Get behind me. I'm not talking about that. This is a childish, no, feelings come and go. You know what? I don't care about that. I know who I am in God, and I am firmly planted in Him to the end of my life. This is where Christianity has a downfall. It doesn't know who it is. You know why we run around? Can you please pray for me? Can you prophesy? Can you prophesy? Prophesy, prophesy. Where are the prophets? Where are the prophets? I need a prophecy. And you see this Christianity that is so embarrassing and to this day does not understand the mission. All they're searching for is a good feeling. Christianity is looking for a good feeling. Stop calling them conferences of glory. Call it conferences, me feeling good. Why? Because I've been feeling bad for 2 months. Just come, pastors, please come. Resurrect us, all of us here. Someone, please answer this call from the man of God, man of faith. That's embarrassing. You have authority over your continent, over your city. You simply have to understand who you are. You need nothing else. Everything is in you. God has placed it. He's hidden it in you. You have to understand. The truth comes and it sets you free. The truth does not add anything. It shows you where things are located and how. Oh, Jesus, show us. Show us your truth. We receive the Savior, and this is where the devil creates this blow. When you're full of feelings, wonderful feelings that Christ has accepted you, everyone goes through that. And through a couple of months, our flesh turns on, the light goes on. It's our old nature. This is how it all works, and lets you know that you are not saved. Listen here. If you're a truthful person, if you're born from above, everyone had this. 2-3 months, you are just a flower in heaven, in the city of God. You're flying, and you're enjoying until the devil hits you in your rear. And then this flower comes down. You know what? I have no time to say all these, paint all these pictures, but this flower comes down to earth and understands that something has hit me or bit me. And the devil tells you, just sit there, I tell you. And you're saying, what is this? Where is God? Where is my Savior? Savior, where he is, where he was always. He is there where he was always been. You're doing something wrong. And this flower comes down to earth and understands, I've been hit there. And Satan tells you, through your flesh, you think you're saved? Why that you're still liking the smell of nicotine? Why is that why is it that you're attracted to this reds and white liquids? Why are you still looking at women's bodies? Why are you laughing? It's all good. You're a normal person. You always do it. You can see the strange smile. I'm at home. I can say what I want. Say it as it is. You know why you're smiling? Because you're always looking at that. That's why you're smiling now. Oh, he said it. Yeah, I said it. You feel better now? Can we continue? Let's move on. Now the shock is gone. And you understand that you're looking somewhere wrong. Your old nature encounters the Spirit, has been born from God with your spirit. And this nature from the devil tells you, you're not saved. Who told you that your flesh, your sinful nature has to be saved? It has to be crucified with Christ. You have to nail it to the cross. You don't need to resurrect it, make it holy. You'll say, you know what, I no longer chase girls, I no longer want to drink or smoke, but now look what happened. I'm not saved. You're saved. You're saved, and you're just simply a saved crybaby. Yes. Let's move on. In a couple of months, your flesh is turned on, the light goes on, and it lets you know that you are not saved, and you're full of sin and just evil things, and that's how it is. And religion has lost the roof of its house, and they've said, everyone has to be holy. Everyone holy. Now, brothers have said that there's holiness in the church. My poor, poor deacon, you didn't understand the biggest process. You know what? It works in your life. And you want to look at someone else's breasts as well. Listen to me. Why are you smiling? I'm at home. I can say it. You're hiding, you're covering everything. You have rules as far as dress codes. You know why you hate me? Because I'm speaking truth about you. And you're going to sit there and say, why is he talking about us? Because exactly the same way. I am telling you the truth about myself as well. Oh, look, we're all the same. Yes, we're all the same. If you're not looking somewhere, come here. We'll pray for you. That means you're an impotent. That's a different sort of deliverance. Amen? Listen. Your old fleshy nature will let you know that you're not saved. You're full of sin. And not understanding, by not understanding this, you don't understand that you have been placed by God in a totally different realm. And you don't have to sit there and prove anything to the devil. And you say, I'm saved. And the devil says, no, through your flesh. He shows you that you're not. And all of these processes that happen on the inside, the devil doesn't need to come and show you anything. No, your flesh will show you things. Your sinful nature knows that you can't control your tongue. It knows that you like to look at certain things, that you like to drink. It will always create the situation where you are caught in the middle of it all. Listen, are you receiving something for yourself? Yeah? He said this, relax, listen to the main thing. If you will pass by the word breasts, maybe you'll hear the main part of the revelation. Wonderful message. I like it. Listen, you see me getting red in the face? No. You think I'm embarrassed? No. Why? Because I don't care. I'm kidding. Beloved, because I am truthful with myself and you. And everything that you think, I will tell you out loud. I'll say it. And we're all going to laugh together and say, of course. Listen. You have been placed by God in a different realm. And that you will not be a new creation. You are a new creation. Listen, right now I will speak about keys. You are a new creation. You are beginning the process of self-deliverance, of achieving God through feelings and emotions. And that's horrible. We do not understand, by not understanding that we have been seated with Christ, that we are a new creation, that, just tell me, disciples, you know, even when they were resurrecting the dead, did they have mistakes? Yes. So explain to me, why is it that it worked for them and it doesn't work for us? But we have the same mistakes. Same mistakes. That we do the same mistakes. Why is it that the dead were risen? Why were they transported in the spirit? Why were they being killed and they would not die? The death would not take them. Why is it when through the storms they came out alive? They knew something that we don't know. This is what the devil hides. He hides from you these hidden mysteries, the truths. He simply covered it. He has hidden it, and that is that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. We will go somewhere today, church. Listen. You start this trying to achieve God with your feelings. Believe me, if you will not accept this revelation and you will lie to yourself, you will be searching for messages that deal with your feelings, that will stir up your feelings. You'll search for those speakers that will charge you up, recharge you. You'll search for music, for words, for lyrics, for prayers. You will go into places where everything touches your feelings. We turn into machines that are hungry and thirsty for feelings. Listen. Until this day, we live in a lie that we lack something. Everyone, Christianity has to accept this truth. All of us. If you really did not go through deliverance and you did not renounce all of this earthly demonic thing, all of us live in this lie. Listen. That we are missing something. I can guarantee you, 90% people in this building, they sit and think that you're lacking something, that you have to be smarter, you have to be holier, you have to be better and higher, and that is the number one lie of the devil. It's the same thing as your child constantly have to think that he has to be better to be your child. That is just crazy. That's crazy, church. You are who you are. You are his son. You are his daughter. After being born from above, that's it. It's finished. It is all finished. So why are you starting to flip out? Because you're not understanding. And you know why we have separation of where you don't know who you are. You have different personalities because you're still here. But with your mind, you try to understand what is a new creation. And you totally miss it. When God explained that to me, I said, Lord, just let me speak this into the body of Christ, because it's a very simple truth, but it is hidden and it is opened through a spirit. And those that are open and that want deliverance and want to understand, you know, tell me truthfully, did anybody ever ask this question of God? God, why is it like this? Why is it that I lack something? You know what? I've asked God these questions hundreds of times by not understanding. And father would come and say, Sonny, you know what? You have everything. You're exactly the way I want you to be. Daddy, why am I still bothered by this? Why do I fight this still? And he says, Sonny, when you'll understand who you are. Remember what Paul wrote. When I was a child. Just continue. I was thinking as a child and I was acting as a child. But when I grew up into a man, a grown person, he's not speaking about age. Now I have chest hair and a beard. No. He was speaking about spiritual maturity. When I've matured into a man, a grown man, I've left all these childhood things, childish things. And then he says, no longer I live. You know what? This will flip any religious person because he will never understand. But achieving this level where Christ lives in you, not that you're trying to sanctify yourself through your actions, you will never achieve that. But because you receive God's truths and you say that truth conquers this other truth that my fleshy nature tells me, and by this truth you conquer the flesh, this is called crucified with Christ. Being crucified with Christ happens through truth. Truth crucifies flesh with all of its fleshy desires. Oh, church, how I want you to understand. Till this day, we live in a lie that we are lacking something. And with all of our might and power, yes, we, all of us, with all of our might, listen, all of our strength, we try to help Christ achieve something that has not been achieved in us. You know what? We spit unto the sacrifice of Christ. We spit in His face because all of us, we prove by our fleshy walk in this life that Christ, you have not achieved something. We, you know what? We just spit at Him by our actions and by our cheap self-sanctification and purification. And I ask you, I want to ask you, Christian, a question. Were you successful? No. You understand? Never. You will never go through self-sanctification and purification. Listen to me, Christian. Yes. Why? When you try to achieve something and God by yourself, you always have a downfall. You know why? God told me. He says, I will let this demon in so you will know that you will not be able to conquer him yourself. Can I just do some exercises here upon this thing? I feel so good. Have you ever asked God this question? Because you don't understand. If the truth has set you free, then you're free. Who? It is written, if the Son has set free, then you are truly free. Some people don't understand me. I'm explaining this. Tell me. Was Paul free from everything? No. Again. I'm going to get into your Pentecostal mind right now, where they left this much of your brain that didn't let you think. Again, I'm explaining to you, what is the truth? If you will understand this, you will come out free. Was Paul free from everything? No. The Bible says that he had some sort of thorn, and Paul complained about it. Second question. Was Paul... Absolutely. Was he just perfect in the eyes of God? Yes, he was. Amen. And I want to tell you, the things that you called freedom, because it's the spirit of Lucifer, because you cannot be free the way that you're thinking. The thing that was holding back Paul was a good thing before God, but in the eyes of Paul, in the eyes of other people, it was saying that he was not complete. He was not perfect. You know, you might not look perfect before other people, but you're perfect in the eyes of God. Paul wasn't like that before his peers in his own eyes, but in the eyes of God, he was. What did God say? You have enough of my, you know, grace. And that says that I give you so much grace, now that it made you perfect. You're going to battle this thing till the end of my life, and I look you in the eyes And I tell you, yes, you will. It says that you're a loser? No. It says that you are perfect in the eyes of God, and God has called me victorious. If your little head will just turn on and understand what I'm saying right now, these revelations, beloved, they're not for children. And children, and they'll just go nuts because they will not understand this. I'm speaking to mature people here. You understand what I'm saying? Who understands what I'm saying? You're looking at me. Do you understand? Good. I can tell by looking at your eyes that you understand. Pause. Small pause. Getting it? How's that? Me. In my eyes, I'm not perfect. But in his eyes, I am. Yes. I am battling things. Yes, Paul was battling things as well. It is written that sometimes he would say things that he didn't mean. I mean, Peter was, you know, saying and doing things that he shouldn't have been doing. And Paul told him, what are you doing? You were hanging out with these guys, and you were drinking coffee with them and eating bread with butter, and all of a sudden the Jewish people came, and now you're saying you no longer know these people? What? Paul was sitting and saying, what is this? What is this? Why are you different now? Are you a hypocrite? What is this? Peter, there's red caviar, the tea. What happened? I don't know. I don't know who these people are. What do you mean? And Paul was sitting there. That's it, guys. And he wrote that right there, right on the spot. I told him, you, beloved, in the eyes of God, I mean, in the eyes of Peter, was he perfect? No. Was he perfect in the eyes of God? Yes, he was. Listen, you have to call truth those things that God calls truths. If God gives you grace to be free from everything and to walk this earth and not commit a single sin, I see then that you're that individual that can carry. But majority of us, including me, your servant. Listen. Am I complete in my eyes? Till the end of my life, I'll say no. In the eyes of God, yes, I am. And that is a new creation. You hear me? I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. You don't need a prayer of deliverance right now. And guess, will you receive deliverance? No. You will come out and say, please pray for me. I have a long tongue. And in a day or two, it'll be a little longer. You know why? Because you'll say, Mr. Pavlov himself prayed for me. He even touched my tongue, put oil on it, and nothing, and is still speaking, and says things that shouldn't be said. Listen. In your eyes, you will always have some sort of spot upon yourself. But then God says, you know what, I like your long tongue. You know why? Because you always come back to me and ask for forgiveness, and I like you better this way. Can you just imagine? When you're free from everything, do you need Jesus? Again, I'm asking you a normal person, normal people. Will you need Jesus if you will no longer need anything? Right now, you're proven to yourself that till the end of your life, you will be a very happy individual. Okay, time is running out. Listen. Let's just read a couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I will read from New Translation because our old Russian translation, I don't like the way the scripture is written. Again, I do read the old Bible in Russian, but sometimes it's different from the New Translation, and I like to read the New Translation. Listen. Again, I say this is a translation world WTC, world WBTC. There were no religious people that were translating this. It was normal people, translators that were translating the Bible from Greek into Russian. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. Are you in Christ?
Amen.
So only three people are in Christ? Are you in Christ? Better. Half a building. Good. Listen, is a new creation. It does not say that you will be a new creation. You have to stand upon this truth. You have to say, devil, yes, yes, I have mistakes. You have more. And yes, Satan, I am perfect, and you're in trouble. You just wave bye-bye to him and keep on moving. Listen. He's a new creation, altogether. And listen, it is written a little differently. The old, previous, moral, and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, fresh and new order has come. Old has died, passed away. In the eyes of God, old has died. Did it die in your eyes? No. No. Your feelings, your emotions will always remind you and tell you that something is following you, that you're doing something. God was not speaking of that. Again, the babies in Christ will say, so what? I do what I want now because I'm perfect? No, you're going to get into worse trouble. It says there are moments in life, and mature people in Christ know that certain things that you battle all over your life, and you don't understand why. That little thing might keep you away from achieving your visions. You know, masses of people came to me and say, if Lord will deliver me from this one little thing, I will move forward. And I tell him, you don't understand that. God does not deliver that on purpose. And he'll say, you will resist this all of your life. And you are perfect for me with this little thing. And without it, you will not follow me. If I'll take this thing from you, you will no longer need me. And that means you will be perfect in your eyes. And that means I will lose you right away. We have to understand the way God sees us. All of you in this building, I can guarantee you, you're battling something because that is the love and grace of God for you. So you'll always be next to him, always come to him. Yes, and Daddy likes to baby you around. I was thinking, next word will deliver me. And the word will even affirm this thing that you're battling in your life. How? Paul was asking that as well. I love Paul. I love Apostle Paul. I'm going to kiss him in heaven. I don't know, his beard or whatnot. I'll say, Paul, thank you very much. You know why? Because you wrote the truth. You didn't hide a single element. Others would pretend that they're holy, but you painted the whole picture, showed all your mistakes, all of your downfalls, on all of your victories. Oh, I love that. Someone who is in Christ is new creation. The old has died and new order has come. Why is it written from power to power? I want to hit another nail on the head. Remember 2 Corinthians? We're not going to open up the scripture. We remember that it's written from power to power, from glory to glory. What am I saying? Tell me. Is it written from power to power? From strength to strength, I mean, and from glory to glory. Guess why church is not successful at that? Because it's not going from glory to glory. It's trying to get from dirt into glory. I am trying to just push your brain today, and you're sitting there nodding. Just think about what I'm saying. We, from glory to glory, and all charismatic people said, amen. Listen. From glory to glory, to move, you have to be where? In the glory. And you know why you're not moving into another glory? Because you're in a garbage bin. Again, I'm speaking to you. You know, I'm being truthful. Listen. It is not written from garbage bin into the glory. It is written from glory to glory. How would you get into glory to go into another glory? Oh, I'm going to let your mind think today. How would I get into glory? Brother Deacon did not say that. He said we're going into glory. Where? Were you in the glory? Now you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, listen to my messages, and you will preach this in your church as well. Are you receiving something, church? I love watching your reaction. It's like a concert. You think you're enjoying it? I'm enjoying your faces. I can see that when some people get it.
Do
You know why we cannot come into the glory? Because we have to understand that we're supposed to be moving with Daddy from this position where we are in the glory. Again, I ask this question. You always want to try to achieve the glory. You understand that we're not going from glory into glory. We're trying to get from dirt into glory. It's subconscious. We all staying quiet, and we're not speaking about it, but we all are doing it. You've been a Christian for 20, 30 years, and you're trying to do the same thing that a new believer is doing. You know what? What happens is that he's showing you where you have mistakes and you have issues, and the devil tells you that this particular issue is in the preventing you and your relationship with God. You know what? Everything is covered by blood, Christ's blood, till the end of your life, and in the eyes of God, you are perfect. You know what? I love today's service. You say, I'm new creation. I will not be a new creation. I am already a new creation. Why are you quiet? What? I'm not a new creation. What? Continue speaking. It's all good. From strength to strength. God knew that from a sinful person, the one who has flesh, it's impossible to move from glory to glory and from strength to strength. What he says that through my blood, I let you achieve those things that you will simply not be able to achieve. He said, yes, you, all of you, with all of your mistakes, I'm taking you and placing you through the blood of Christ into the glory. I'm telling you, you're a new creation. I give you all authority, all power. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Just read the Bible. You already have priests and kings. We are his sons and daughters. We will not be. We're not in the process. We are already are his sons and daughters. And God says, you're not getting it. You already have to start your movement, your walk with God when you just come to God from glory to glory. This is why we all get caught in the snare of the devil. We're all trying to achieve glory. We're trying to become better, all of us in this building, isn't it so? Why are you smiling? I'm telling you the truth. You want to become better. Listen to me. In your mind, you think that this particular thing is awesome, but in the eyes of God, it's not the right thing to do. Because you're offending God and his sacrifice. And when the Holy Spirit tells you not to say something, this is where you are obedient and you don't say it. And you feel like the Holy Spirit is stopping you. We all feel that. And when you do this certain thing and not listen, disobey, you feel it on the inside. You don't feel good. And even David had mistakes. And God didn't even mention didn't rebuke in some of them in the Bible. But I am already the new creation, and I am seated with him in the heavenly places, and I have the authority already. That's when I speak, things begin to happen. I don't think that they're going to happen. I know that they will happen, because I know that when I speak this sermon, that your mind will be free. This is the new birthing, rebirthing. If you're trying to cleanse yourself, you didn't understand what new birth is. But new birth is being taken from old and placed in the new. It's your faith that speaks to you that you are a new creation, you're the son and daughter of God, and there's nothing else. And the devil can't say anything else to you to tell you otherwise. Because he might tell you certain things, and it might be true for that time, but the truth overrides all of that. Because it could be true, the fact that sometimes you speak things that you shouldn't, or you look at places where you shouldn't, but the truth of God tells you who you are. And all these shortcomings, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places, and no one else can tell me otherwise. Not Grandma, not Grandma Kathy, or this brother, or not even Lucifer, because I know who I am. Do you know why it's difficult for us to go from glory to glory, or from power to power? If you're trying to purify yourself on your own, you're trying to move by law. But law was experienced through feelings. But here, under the grace of God, all you have to do is believe that you are forgiven. And Jesus said to them, "And go and sin no more," when he would address certain people in his time, or to that man that was hanging with him on the cross. He told him that you will be with me, and Jesus, how can you say that? The guy hasn't even repented. All he said was, "Just remember me when you go to your father." And he said, "Don't worry about it. I'll remember you. You'll be with me in that place." Because God is not a man. God is not a man. He does not judge the way we... You know, if you have some kind of a fallout or some kind of mistake you make, people will look differently at you, but not with God. With God, we are perfect in His eyesight. Your imperfection, is a part of your humanity so that you would be perfect in the sight of God. So this is the bomb that might blow your mind. So you say, my imperfection adds to the part of me that's human, and that your spirit is perfect before God, though. So the devil has lied to us because we did not know the truth. We couldn't recognize it. Now we don't understand why the church has no authority, no power, because we move from a place of not understanding that authority that God gave us. But don't pay attention to mistakes you made yesterday. But when you say that I am perfect, because the truth has spoken this concerning me, even if my wife has had a problem with me, but you just ask forgiveness, but you're still perfect in the eyes of God. So you just don't overreact and just be calm, because no matter what happens, you're perfect in the eyes of God. You're perfect. Say, I'm perfect in the eyes of my Savior. And I don't need anything else to make myself more perfect in His eyes. We even have weeks of for purification purpose. This week I will become more beautiful for my God. This is a powerful revelation here. You have to understand this. Because with your week of purification, when you're doing it out of your own self, you're offending God. Say, I'm perfect in the eyes of my Savior. You're perfect. We need to move from the authority that God gave us. And it's all over in the scripture. Reread the New Testament. It talks about you. And it's concerning those that have been born again. It's all in the New Testament that we already have the power of God. But we don't, as we enter salvation, we don't enter the phase of a conqueror, but we enter a phase where into a progression of becoming a conqueror. But God says, by his mercy and by his grace, you're put in the face of a conqueror at that time as you enter into his kingdom. You might not feel that you're a conqueror because it's a mercy of God that you're seated with him. It's a mercy. You might not feel like a conqueror. How many of you understand favor? Favor. You know what favor is? This is when I, for instance, come to Russia. I might not have a passport. To get a Russian passport, it's a whole process. I'll have to get rid of my U.S. citizenship. I'll need to go through this process. And favor says, you go to people that know other people. And with favor, these people, they give you a passport, a legal passport. So you listen to me today. By favor, did you do it on your own, or did you have the right people you were with? So I'm telling you, speaking to your religious mindset, you came to the right Jesus. And by his favor and mercy, he gave you victory. Hello. Did you understand that? Did you get that or not? I thought you would. Now I understand. I make my own translation. He seated us together with him because of his favor. That's my own translation. You've just come to the right people and they gave you favor. So we still do not understand that we already have, by favor and his mercy, we have the citizenship of heaven already. They just brought me the passport. I didn't do anything. They just gave it to me, and I opened it. I see my passport, my face on here, and it talks about my birth here. Is it the right passport? It looks right, with stamps and everything. But I didn't do anything. Well, that's how you should feel when this is what the blood of Jesus did for you, gave you a citizenship in heaven. And all I do is I take this Russian passport and I go to Russia. Do you think they would know how I got this passport? All they care about is the stamp and the fact that you do have a passport. You know, when I come back to the U.S., or they ask you how did you become a citizen at the border, and they don't say that. They just look at my passport in my face and just let me go. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? My time is flying, but I'm still in the middle of my sermon. So as we enter salvation, we don't enter the phase of progression into conquering, but we're in the phase of a conqueror already. So we have been deceived if we think otherwise. Imagine, you don't need to do absolutely anything to move as a new creation. You just have to recognize and understand that you are a new creation.
And someone might come up to you and say, well, look, you are not a conqueror. But I know the truth. We have to understand this truth. This is the massive revelation. And you just have a breakthrough and cry out to God, wow, that I am perfect in God's eyesight. Finally, I understand that this makes sense. Finally, I understand that there's a future for me and the destiny. Finally, I understand that I didn't pay for my salvation. You gave it to me by your grace. So without Jesus, you will never become a citizen of heaven. So you absolutely need nothing more to become the new creation. But your flesh might tell you, try to contradict you. And it might tell you, you don't deserve any of this. And then if you really think about it, maybe the flesh has a point, but you got to remember the truth. You might not be perfect here on the earth, but you are perfect in the sight of God. So your battle will be in your mind. And things around you will tell you, no, you're not a new creation. You're an old creation. Because the carnal man depends on the feelings. Understand me today. And if you have not conquered some kind of battling in your life, then your feelings will tell you, well, you're not a conqueror. And if you didn't take it, you didn't destroy it, you're not a conqueror. But I tell you otherwise today, you are a conqueror. So I don't want to go into a self-purification process all by yourself. Have you reached that place of being perfect and completely purified all by yourself? No, you're going to always have problems and you'll never be purified on your own. But your father says, I've given you a citizenship of heaven. I give you the passport to heaven. It's me that makes that difference in your life. So, really, in the sense, you don't need to see, but you just need to believe. And the Bible covers all of this. And God speaks to us and says, read the word, it's all in there. And Galatians 6:14. You guys are okay? We're a little taking a little longer today. So Galatians 6:14. Listen to what Paul says. I'll read from a new translation, because this translation is better. But far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that he's speaking of something that we might not understand. He says that he glories in favor. He glories in favor that he did not deserve. Talking about different favor with different people once again, and as an example, one cop pulls you over, and you have many things, many violations, but the cop just favors you and releases you without giving you a ticket. But I will not glory in anything but in Christ, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Home, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. And my world was crucified. And I am not in this world any longer. I destroy my world passport, and I receive my new passport and citizenship of heaven. And I no longer register here on the earth. Through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision of any importance nor uncircumcision. It does not matter. Because to them circumcision was a big deal. They had church divisions because of this back then. But listen to what he says later. But only a new creation. New creation of Christ. Do you understand me? What is more important is you have to become a new creation. You have to receive it by favor, the citizenship of heaven, and say, I am new creation. Rip your world passport and say, I am a new creation. Stop living in the old way. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Yes, that's what the Lord said. But the devil and the flesh will tell you, no, you're not. But I tell you again that the truth overrides everything. It comes from a higher realm. It overrides the lower realm. Have you seen Bruce Almighty, the movie? Do you remember how the truth conquered? It was like something that was right, but the truth conquered it. I know it's a secular movie, but it has a good point there in one. Remember? So here's this Bruce. He was showing his fingers in the back, and God, supposedly in this movie, was telling him, he's trying to guess God, if that was God or not. But when he pulled, and then there was a moment there where God said that he has seven fingers or something like that. And he pulls out his hand, and he has like an extra finger on his hand. So, but that's how God can change things. Because He's Almighty. And when God said that you're a conqueror, and you hold your finger in the back, you pull it out, and wham, you are a conqueror. Our daddy's always right. And you might know that there can't be seven fingers on your hand. Even if he tries to say something different, it automatically becomes the truth, because he's the truth. Even if you get seven fingers on one hand, he doesn't lie, he just speaks.
Поэтому я лично, смотри, я лично не дам голосу правды, которым кричит моя плоть. Уже внимательно. Перекричать голос истины, которым кричит мой дух. Вот где написано, две личности борются. Помните?
This is where it says that there's, it's like two different people in you fighting each other, or not people, but it's like that carnal flesh, that fallen nature fights that your spirit. This is where Paul talked about that there's a battle in me. But you have to listen to the truth of God. Whatever he says shall happen. And the Bible covers absolutely everything what God was saying at that moment. So what matters is your faith, you believing the word and the truth. Many years ago, I made a decision to shut my spiritual eyes, my physical eyes and my physical ears, and just pay attention and obey and listen to the truth of God.
And the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Raise up.